Good evening, everyone. This is the, I guess, regular, not semi-monthly, but monthly meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. It is Tuesday, February 25th at 5:30 Pacific. February 25th, is that what I said?
No, that's what it is.
Okay, Tuesday, February 25th at 5:38 p.m. Pacific, 8:38 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is Tracy Klusenberg. I'm the outgoing chair of this committee and a former listener rep from KPFA. We would normally start out with having our secretary call the roll. In this case, I'm just going to say something briefly about the current status of the committee and its composition, and then we will move to a roll call after that. So five members of the committee are LSB treasurers who have been re-elected to their seats. I believe that we went 5 for 5, so it's exactly the same five people, and they will be carrying on to the 2014 National Finance Committee. There are five sitting PNB reps. They will be replaced by members of the 2014 Pacifica National Board. However, at least two, maybe more, I don't know the details, of the seats are going through an election process that hasn't happened yet, and accordingly, we're not in a position at this meeting, which was previously scheduled, to seat the new directors, because we don't know who they all are, so the incumbent directors will preside at this meeting. What I think that we're going to do for the purposes of, consistency is I don't believe that there are any motions that will be brought forward at this meeting for a vote. If they are, those individuals that are no longer in Pacifica governance, which is mostly me, I think, will not vote. That said, I don't think that there's any motions planned unless a member of the committee wishes to bring one. There's nothing on the agenda to that effect. So our call, and the last item is that the chief financial officer, current status as I understand it, is still on paid time off, and therefore he will not be participating in the meeting. I think that's it. So, our call, does that give you enough to call the roll with?
Yeah, sounds like I'm calling the same roll as last time.
Actually, yes.
Okay.
Just with a long explanation in front of it.
Okay. All right, on the roll. Jim Boyd.
Yes.
John Crumshaw.
Present.
Marcus Jeter, R. Paul Martin here, Tony Norman.
Present.
Michael Novick.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Present.
Manisha Saba. Richard Uzel. Barbara Whipperman.
Here.
That's seven. We've got a quorum.
Okay. All right, so we will start by taking a look at a draft agenda. One was sent out on Monday. It's pretty straightforward. It basically consists of, as I understand it, and we've already done some of this, finalizing the agenda, number one, approving minutes, number two, number three, taking a look at the FY 2013 and first quarter FY 2014 financial statements that were distributed to the Pacifica National Board at the last board meeting. I don't believe there are any other items on the draft. Would someone like to either move for approval or make a modification?
Paul, I have a fast question here.
Yes.
In the past, on the various committees, people have been squeamish about approving minutes that are at meetings that they hadn't been at. And we do have, I think, one set of executive session minutes.
Oh.
And we can just leave them there, I suppose, since we're going to get some people repeating. Do we want to just leave them there? I just want to let people know that there is one set of executive session minutes. and their draft minutes. And so what do we want to do? Do we want to just leave them there and the next time the committee has an executive session, do them then, even though some people will be different and not on there? Or do we want to try to approve them tonight, or what?
Oh, geez. They must be really old. We haven't had an executive session in forever.
I think they're about a year-ish, 11 or 12 months old.
Oh, wow. Crap. We should have taken care of that earlier. Okay. I think it's probably unfair for to ask a brand-new finance committee to approve minutes from a year ago. It is our responsibility to get it done. Our problem is that I probably did not notice a closed session for this meeting, since there didn't seem any logical reason that we would have one. So I think we are within our right to call an emergency closed session, but I also don't want to create CPB problems, even though this seems like a rather benign reason to have an emergency closed session. What do people think? I mean, the other alternative, the other alternative is that we could set another meeting fairly fast and try to take care of it before the turnover, but I don't know what the timing is on that. Yeah, go ahead, Barbara.
Okay.
Well, since the treasurer seemed to be continuing, I personally would be in favor of putting it off. And, you know, if people do abstain when the vote's taken if they weren't there.
Well, that's true. You'll have five votes, which in theory is enough people to approve the minutes.
Okay.
Paul?
Yeah.
You want to say something?
Another option would be that we could just vote here, you know, in open session to approve those minutes if there's no real debate or anything. So, I don't know. That's just one more option. You know, I just wanted to make sure everybody knew this was here.
Yeah, if we don't need to discuss the closed session minutes, then I don't know that it really matters one way or the other. Or Paul, could you send out the minutes in question on the listserv, and then maybe we can assess whether it's possible to approve them or not.
Okay. Should I just send out the link so that people can go to the Yahoo group, because they're already posted there? Or do people prefer if I put a file in there?
I'd rather have a file to get my Yahoo.
Okay. People want a file. Right.
Yeah, I think people prefer, if possible, if you could send out the text itself in the body of the message, then it's easier to take a look.
I'm getting to it. So, all right, so you won't hear from me for a couple of minutes as I...
Barbara, with a suggestion?
Yeah, Barbara.
We could also go ahead with the rest of the agenda, and since he's sending this, we could have a, you know, chance to look at them and approve it later in the agenda.
Yes, that's exactly where I was going. Exactly. Okay, are there any other modifications to the agenda? I guess at this point we've modified that essentially we're going to postpone the minutes to the last item on the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
Yes, Jim, move that the agenda be approved as amended.
Okay. Are there any objections?
I was just wondering, Michael Lillard.
Oh, hi, Michael. Welcome.
Yeah, I've been on. I was wondering if we could go around the state of the current fund drives. Are all the stations in fund drives right now, or is it just in California?
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I think we can. I think we've got someone here from every station, so they can at least share as much as they know. Any objections to adding that as an agenda item?
Where do we want to put that?
What was that, Paul?
Where exactly do we want to put that?
Let's put it before the financial statements. I think it'll be quicker.
4-1.
So the agenda would go approve the agenda, fund drive updates, financial statement review, approved minutes, and I think that we'll move both the open and the close to the same place because there's no reason to split the minutes in half. So it would just be approved minutes would be the last item.
Okay, so what I have then is roll call, which we've done. Approve a draft agenda, outgoing chair's report, committee status, CFO status, on-air fundraiser status.
No, get rid of the chair's report and the CFO status because we sort of already did that with the roll call.
All right, so approved draft agenda, on-air fundraiser status or reports. Mm-hmm. Review of 9/13/13. Okay. 9/30/13 FYE financials and 12/31/2013 FY14 first quarter financials and at the end approve minutes. Is that it?
I think that's it. Yeah. So Jim, does your motion to approve hold to this new version?
As amended, yes.
Okay. Any objections? All right, then the agenda is approved, and we'll move on to the fundraiser updates. I think what we'll probably do is check in with the LSB treasurers if they're present, and then if the sitting PNB member has comments, they can go afterwards. If there's no LSB treasurer present, we'll go straight to the PNB member. Let's see. Where should we start? Let's start in Washington. So I guess that's Tony Norman.
Okay, so where are we starting on Fund Drive?
Fund Drive updates. Where are you in your Fund Drive? Is it beginning, ending, and over with? How did it go?
Well, technically it's ending, but we had to extend it another week. It went fair, not well. I think the goal was about 400,000, and we only raised maybe a little over 300. So we've extended it another week. So hopefully we'll see what awareness. This is the week of the extension. So I think we might be able to be picked up a little bit over the weekend.
Do you have any observations about the results and why they came up so short or? Anything you would want to share?
Well, I can only give my opinion. I mean, we're in a lot of transitions that are going on at the station. And there's a new overall style of pledge drive that our members are not really used to. You know, you have a lot of the meditation products, the health products, that kind of thing. So our members are really trying to adjust to that. They're used to a little bit of that. It's like, you know, sometimes that can look like garlic. You get a little bit, but too much can really be distasteful. So we're getting through some of that. And I think we can, and also another, we're having an issue with picking up on, I'm sure this is true at a number of stations. We got to catch up on our premiums. That's going to be a big problem. Because a lot of our donors are complaining they haven't received their gifts or that they ordered a year ago or 6 months ago. So, and also another factor, whether you like him or not, I don't think Gary Noll was heavily involved in this pledge drive, which does contribute to raising a good portion of our money in the recent drive. So, for whatever reason, he's not involved, nor was Amy Goodman. So I think, I'm not quite sure the reasons why either of those individuals were involved, but they weren't, so that can trip some point about it.
Okay.
I guess if there's any questions and answers, I have a question. Does anybody else? No. Okay. I don't know if you get the dailies, Tony, or not. So if you don't know the answer, that's fine. But I was just wondering if there was any detectable trend about the fund drive starting off slow and getting better, or starting off fast and getting worse, or kind of what the trajectory was, or was it just kind of consistent all the way through?
It was kind of consistently, you know, slow. It wasn't any, you know, just a consistent, consistently low. So, like, I've been watching some of the things, yeah. So I don't see it hasn't been a drop or a drop down. It's just been consistently slow.
Okay. I was just curious. Okay.
Manager, I started late.
Oh, hi, Manager. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was Washington. So I guess if we're going around in a circle, that brings us to Houston. So we'll start with Jim.
Yeah, we finished a winter fund drive, oh gosh, about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And so the numbers I'm a little weak on. I think we were shooting for low 200s. We got high hundreds. And so we ended up about mid-70s, 72, 73, 74% of what we'd been trying to get. It was pretty much across the board. Everything was somewhat reduced. And to kind of go towards your question about a trend, it was pretty slow in the beginning. It was looking really bad. And then towards the end, things picked up to kind of pull us out of it. But, you know, it wasn't a total disaster, but it wasn't anywhere near what we had hoped for.
Yeah. That's what I'd heard. Okay. Richard Uzel, are you on the phone? No, he's taking the night off. Okay. So any questions for Jim?
This is Jim. Just on Richard, I called him. It was... He had an understanding that he was going to be replaced and that we would have a new member of the NFC, was a new member to the NFC from the PMB. That's why he's here.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Like I said, usually the process sort of happens all at once, but that's okay. We'll just go on. All right. Okay, so that's Houston. So that brings us to Los Angeles. Michael Novick.
May I have a question?
Yeah. Los Angeles extended for at least a week now. I'm just looking at the last day totals I see here from last Thursday. I'm there to get the end date March 5th, but I can't believe that's real. The last thing I heard is it was extended to the 28th, which is the end of this week. It's coming in slowly, much slower than predicted or expected. Last Thursday, that was a very good day. I think that might have been the first day they offered the control history to Oliver Stone series. So they're taking a lot of money all day long and various different programs. But it's well below expectations, I think. Total daily average through last year, I think it's about 32,000. I think it's up over 600,000 now, but to get close to the goal, they would have to be doing, $50,000 days for the rest of this week, which I might happen, but would be quite a bit more than getting per day.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's ending on the 28th, as far as I know, or...
Mm-hmm. Is it a hard close on the 28th, or that you know about, or?
I'm not actually positive. Like I said, looking at the daily totals for the last Thursday, the 20th, it says projected end date March 5th. That's the first I heard of that. I was in the phone room yesterday, and I think it was so technical. if I heard from the gym, it would say, four more days to, you know, manage to reach a goal. I think the 20th is good. And I do think that A stopped already, so that is impossible for him. He's not just pitching for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, John Crumcho, do you have anything to add?
I would add that the first time we had a combined fund drive with the KPFA, which I think is helpful, we also seem to be emphasizing more downloads and CDs and intellectual kinds of things that go along with programs that are currently on KPFK, which is good. I'm not sure about the other issue having to do with the car that we raised before, because there was a question about one car company for all five Pacifica stations, and I don't know if any progress has been made on that. Does anyone, Michael, Michael, what was that?
You're kind of breaking up. I couldn't hear the last thing you said.
Do we now have one phone drive company?
I'll jump in and say I don't think so, but I think there are still some attempt to make that happen, because apparently if it's one company doing all five stations, there's potentially a bigger, a better percentage breakdown between the company that handles the car donation and the amount that actually nets back to the stations. And so the question was how much better it was, and if it in fact paid for sort of a hassle for those stations switching that were already using a different vendor. Because, you know, there's some time and opportunity cost to switching the program. And I think that is still under discussion, John. I don't think it's actually happened yet. But I could be wrong. Okay. Are there any other questions regarding LA?
I would just say, following up on what John said, that I think the premium cost is much lower for this one, so lower totals don't necessarily mean a lower net for the station.
Yeah, and there's reasons that could be advantageous. We'll have to see. Okay, that brings us to Berkeley. Barbara?
Well, we had in the beginning a little kerfuffle about what the actual goal was supposed to be, and it turns out that our IGM made an executive decision to lower it, feeling that we were experiencing a lot of fund drive stress. And the staff was announcing ahead of time that this was going to be shorter than last year, and they were very enthusiastic about how we were going to do this with a lot of dedication, but in fact not drag it out as long as people, got really tired of it. And so something happened different in my experience is a lot of times these fund drives, especially if they're long ones, start slow. And this one really didn't do that. The first day, between 6 a.m. and 11 a.m., the pitching raised over $22,000. And, of course, there was more by the end of the day. Another really big morning we had was Thursday the 20th, and they raised $37,600 in the period from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. And by the end of that day, they had raised $67,700. Now, these are not totals we got every day, but they did accomplish the goal, the revised goal, which was 640,000 rather than 700 and whatever it was. And they went a little over that. It was, I hear, 643,000. The types of premiums that seem to be very popular here are, somebody used the words a little while ago, the intellectual-oriented recordings of speeches and film DVDs, and everybody ended up feeling pretty good about the accomplishment at this fund drive.
Thanks, Barbara. The goal for the budgetary goal for the fund drive, which got lowered, was originally 758,000. Are there any questions or? Manager, you had something you wanted to say before LA started. Do you still want to say that?
Actually, I had a question from the previous reporter, and that was was it KPFK or was it WPFW? I'm not sure which one it was.
KPFK was before Michael.
Yeah, when you talked, the last report had been from KPFK, Jim Boyd.
Yes. I had questions about why that was. Why? What did they do differently? And if they, what they have raised, because the numbers also was not specific and didn't know. They said low 200, but they raised high 200, and it wasn't clear. And also, I would like to see what is different. Why do they think they didn't accomplish what they were hoping to? Actually, I have the same question from KPFA. Yeah, it seems that 2 days at least, they have done such incredible job, but and also they started enthusiastic at the beginning, because I know that, for example, for BAI, for us this time, it was the first week was very, 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 very slow. So how those 2 days, at least for KPFA, was different from the rest of the time that they made much lower than their expectation? Thanks.
Yes, I think there's definitely stuff to do in terms of looking at the fund drive trends and trying to tease out what works, what it does work, and what doesn't work, when it doesn't work, and so on.
Well,
I guess that was addressed to Jim and Barbara. So what do you...
Yes.
Yeah, this is Jim, KPFT.
Mm-hmm, thanks.
One thing we can recommend to everybody is it's not a good idea to have a fund drive during Super Bowl. Generally, you can expect not to get very much. And so that takes out one of one of the biggest days of the fund drive, and you're just not going to get much there. There was more pitching earlier on some of the earlier programs where there hadn't been some pitching, some of the local shows, and I think that may have helped in some situations. But as to why the fundraising came in the way it did, I don't think we really know.
Jim, let me ask you a question before we go to Barbara on Manager's question. Do you guys still have a fundraising consultant on staff, or are you not doing that anymore?
No, I don't believe we do, no.
Oh, okay. I was just curious. Okay, so Barbara, in response to Manager.
I didn't mean to give the impression that there were only 2 days where we brought in a lot of money, but those were very happy days around here, and so those are the one I know about. Pretty soon we'll have the kind of a report that we get from our data systems manager, and we'll know more about the daily totals. The whole business of starting with a lower goal was a decision made, as I said, by Richard Brodsky. And luckily, we've actually had some large donations since then. So I think that we are going to meet or get pretty close to our budget. I would actually attribute the success and the beginning, positive response from the listeners to the way the staff was presenting everything. They were very enthusiastic and have actually, improved or expanded the narratives they're using when they talk on air. There have been some CART recordings made by various members of the staff here with the assistance of this consultant firm, Goldbusters. They're kind of like little vignettes, a conversation between two people about supporting the station. I think it was the first time I heard the term used so frequently, that what we provide is a service to the community, and I just think that I would attribute the positive responses that we got from the performance of the staff doing the pitching.
Michael, do the
stack. Okay, so it sounds like we are going, unless there's any further questions, we would be going around the horn to New York.
Oh, I'm sorry, Michael, do the stack.
Oh, okay, so there's the stack. Okay, Michael, go ahead.
John, sure, I just wanted to answer Manjit's question about KPFK because, the results were lower than we were hoping for. And I was in the phone room for several days, and I think one of the problems here is that basically, it's just 8 weeks from the end of the last fund drive to the start of this one, from our late December drive to this drive in February. And I got quite a number of callers saying, I still haven't received my premium from the last fund drive. So I think there's a certain amount of resistance to going on the air as often as we are and pitching, and one of the things we're talking about in our local station working with the interim general manager is a local development task force to start to figure out ways to raise more funds off-air and take some of the burden off the on-air fundraising.
Thank you, Michael. I think John also wanted to be on the stack. John, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
Hello? Okay. I wanted to note for the stream that it was our executive director, Summer Reese, who first proposed putting the two fund drives together for KPFK and KPFA, and I think that is was a very good move on her part, and to see it actually happen and start working was good. And then I think that she also made a pretty strong case for professionalizing our fund drives, and that was noted in some previous comments. And I think that when people start to recognize that we are in the service of delivering quality news, for example, the Oliver Stone DVDs just broke all records, selling something like, but they're getting $9,000 in donations in an hour and then repeat it again. People are looking for those kinds of things, hungry for those kinds of things, and we are now providing them. and I think it's going to make a big difference.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so if there's nothing further, we will continue around the horn to New York. Our Paul.
Okay. All right, this report will be written by Anton Chekhov, because it's going to be a lot of drama. All right, BAI's fawn started out on the third of February, and basically the official posting about it says that the station needs to raise $400,000 to $500,000. In the February thon. And so our goal was that. Now, we had an interim program director who had been on the payroll since December, and he had declared that we were going to go away from the premium fundraising model, and we would make a new thing of the program is the premium. And so there would be very limited premiums and some generic premiums, and we would go with that, and that's what we would pitch. And that went on, and it really didn't raise much. It was pretty bad. It was frightening how little money we were raising. We were raising, you know, $2,000 and $3,000 a day, sometimes a little more. Our goal in the budget is $18,820 a day as the tally for the thons. And we were coming in well below that. We were coming in at about 25% after the first 10 days or so. And so the interim program director left on Thursday, February 13th, and the next couple of days, management geared things up to go back to pitching premiums, and that has made a very significant difference. We have done much better. I was supposed to get let me see if it's arrived yet. I was supposed to get this afternoon an update as to exactly what the situation is with the thon as of this afternoon, and I haven't gotten that. So what I can say is the revenue, the tally from the new way, which is the old way, the premium pitching, is significantly better. It is not necessarily getting up to 18,820 a day. We did have a very good day on what day was this? This past Wednesday, and 6 days ago, where we did 34, and on the day before that we did 20, and we did 31 the day before that. So we're getting some good days. However, we also have days that are like 10,000 and 12,000, and while that's better than two or three, that's still not 18,820. So things are still a little bit rough in that area. Their management has announced that the thon is going to get extended by about 2 weeks into March, and so part of what we're pushing is February is Black History Month, and we're going to be pushing it when it gets into March. We're going to be pushing that March is Women's History Month, and so we're going to be pushing some premiums for that. Basically, the general manager announced that. That first 2 weeks of the thon, we're kind of saying that was just not quite a thon. And so what we're doing is really starting on the 17th of February. Yeah. And that's what we're doing. Now, Christine Blasdale has been brought in, and she's pitching, and I believe that's part of why we're getting the 20 and 30-odd thousand days. And we're looking at the extension of things. Gary Null is back. He had been not on for those first 2 weeks, and then he was brought back in. And so we're having better days. Hold on. Pardon me. We're having better days now, but they're not necessarily making our 18, 820 goal every day. So it's hard to say how this is going to work, because we now have about 2.5 more weeks of pitching. Mm-hmm. I will note that May is going to be the springthon, and since we're going into the middle of March, we're going to have about 6 weeks or so between the winterthon and the springthon, and that historically has made the next thon not that great. Now, in terms of other aspects of this, various people at BAI have been working with the Community Advisory Board to have a meeting every Sunday, and they're getting out the premiums. So the premium backlog is being knocked down very seriously. And so that should be helping us with people feeling at least satisfied that, yeah, I pledged for a premium and I didn't get it yet, but now they're getting them. And they're putting out huge numbers of these premiums. Many thousands are going out. And so that is a positive thing, which I think will help us as the thon goes on and people say, well, I got it a little bit later than I thought, but I got my premium from last time. Maybe I'll pledge this time. At least that's what people are hoping. So yeah. we have this kind of, iffy thing going on, and the general manager has sent out an email and a newsletter to the membership saying, this kind of happened. We tried an experiment. Looks like it didn't quite work, so we're going to be going and doing what we know you'll respond to and, talking to them about that. And so this is sort of the situation with our thon as of now. As far as I can tell, I was supposed to get some more updated stuff. I don't have the most updated stuff, but what I've told you about is basically the way it's going. So there we are. We started out one way. We switched our horses in midstream, and we're going to ride our horse for a little longer and hope that we can make up the money. And I guess that's my report on the thon.
Yeah. Manager,
thank you. That was Chekhovian, yes. Madam J, you want to ask?
Yes, I have some good news for you. Actually, while you were talking and you said you don't have information, I got some information for us. I just called, make a call, and I got to Bertold, and I got some numbers, which feels at least much better. He said we have raised so far $169,000, meaning about $100,000 since Bertold, our general manager has been in charge, from which $117,000 of it is credit card, meaning cash. So we have that. So it's so that's where we are. And he's going to send me some information, and if I get more information, I would let you know. But I really I was impressed by hearing that these older videos and things that other people like Ali North and all that they have used have been successful. I think it's incredible. We have incredible archives and we have been neglecting it. I would suggest maybe Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas audios, videos would be so interesting and important to our listeners to have. So maybe we can use that from our archives. Thanks.
Yeah, let me say I have just gotten the emails.
Okay.
So
mine hasn't come in yet.
Yeah. And, yeah, there's, okay, credit cards and stuff. Da-da. All right, so I have just now gotten these things, and let's see, what is the results? Okay, the results are an Excel file. Open up, please. Okay, so we have, yeah. And, okay, so, yeah, we were getting those single-digit thousands, and since then we've gotten, like, between 10 and 34,000 per day. So it's up. It doesn't look that great. It's, what is this, total? Well, I see a total here of 154 grand. Oh, but over here, the other one is, the pledge total is, yeah, 167,946, basically 168, is that it? Yeah, 168. And so we're actually not far off the goal at the moment, it looks like. So, you know, so that's basically it, yeah.
Okay. All right, so questions or comments? I'll put myself on the staff. Does anyone else want to be there? No. Okay. So it sounds to me, R. Paul, that you guys raised about 30,000 or something the first week, and then it's been, I guess, about 170 or so. I'm sorry, during the first part of the fund drive, and then it's been about 170 or so since. So the total pledges would be a little over 200, is that right?
Let me go back to that, and I think, okay, where is...
Four pledges, 100.
I think, he's, the general manager says 167,946 as
total
of today.
Okay.
Today ain't done yet, and so,
Yeah, actually,
let's...
Manager, what he says is the first 14 days is $58,042, and the past nine days have been $169,324,000, which is total $227,366.
That's
so far.
Essentially,
and
halfway to the goal. Right.
Yeah, and 156,000 of it is in cash.
Okay, thank you.
Meaning it's credit card. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I just stripped out the because I had to click on it fast. I was in read only mode, so I've copied a column, and the column I have comes out to 193, going from February 3rd. So. Close to 200, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that you guys lost those 10 to 12 days at the beginning, but I guess, like Bertolt says, it's a do-over at this point.
Yeah. So they're working very... Actually, I have to say that the BAI people are working very hard, and we have the CAP, that Community Advisory Board that R. Paul mentioned, besides doing all of those very intense physical labor work and sending everything, and also they have been working intensely for sustainability plan, and it seems that people are having a lot of things together, which is very exciting to see. Thanks.
Okay. Well, good. All right. Anything else? Questions for New York? Comments? Okay. So I guess that the short version is New York and Washington. We don't quite know where we are because the fund drives have been extended, so we'll see what the final numbers are. KPFK as well. We're waiting for final numbers. And at KPFT, we are looking at about a 25% shortfall, which, I don't know, Jim, if I guesstimated that, about 40,000 short, give or take? Would that be way off?
I I seem to remember it was a little less than that, about 30, maybe 35, 36, 37.
Okay. And at KPFA, we are looking at 118,000 short. And those two fund drives are concluded. Okay. So at this point, I think it probably makes sense to take a look at the financial reports since thanks above, we actually have some, which has not been a strong point of this year. All of you guys should have received a bunch of files like several weeks ago. I don't know. Maybe a week and a half ago?
Yeah.
Is everybody in receipt of those?
I got them.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, I don't really have a format for kind of how we should do this. I just thought we should pretty much discuss them. So let me give you two options and the committee can pick. There is a sort of a financial narrative statement which I wrote just to sort of, you know, be helpful to people that get hives every time they look at spreadsheets, because we know some people do. We could go over that document sort of station by station if you wanted to, or each of you guys could sort of tackle your own station and, you know, talk about what the financial results indicate to you, if there were things that were surprising or uncharacteristic or repeating problems that you could have seen coming a million miles away. So I think it's really up to you guys which way you want to tackle it. What's the preference? Somebody?
Well, Tracy?
Yeah.
I think you prepared these, right?
The National Office prepared the financial statements. I prepared the financial narrative document, not the financial statements themselves, but I did a little oversight just to make sure they got out the door that day. So there was new supervision in the National Office. But I didn't actually prepare them, but I'm reasonably familiar with the numbers.
Okay. Well,
I did prepare the one called the financial narrative. That's the only one that I'm responsible for.
Right.
That financial narrative may be easier to work with.
I'm sorry? What was that, Jim?
The financial narrative may be easier to work with.
Okay.
Just because the others have just a lot of numbers that.
Okay. Well, if nobody objects, maybe I'll pull out that document and we'll take a look at it.
Yeah, I would think that would be good because you've done it, you're very familiar with it, and when we have questions, you can answer the questions on that.
Okay, good. So let me bring that document up, and we'll talk about it. And, yeah, and we can totally, you know, do some feedback if there's anything that doesn't sound right or whatever. Okay, it's coming up.
Barbara with a question.
Yeah, Barbara.
Do I understand this correctly, that you passed out the financial statements, or somebody did, at the PND meeting, but in fact the financial narrative notes from you were not distributed to the PNB? Is that correct?
No. They were not distributed to the PNB. It wasn't actually done prior to the PNB meeting, but I felt that as the outgoing treasurer, it's kind of important that some kind of official financial statements get out, because it's been since at least July or August that anything had come out. So I wrote this in order to accompany the financial statements prepared by the National Office. And that was after the fact. When did they get sent? Jesus. Let me look. February 13th. So it was about a week after, 3 to 4 days after the meeting, when I had a chance to sit down and do it. Okay. All right. Well, this financial narrative, for some reason, starts with Houston. So I guess we'll start with Houston. Okay. So briefly, the overall scope of Houston was in FY 2013, KPFT missed its revenue projections by $117,000. And Jim has actually done some reporting on these numbers through the committee before, so this is kind of parallel. Expenses were trimmed by $32,000, or approximately 25% of the shortfall, which left us with a $99,000 operating deficit, which is fairly large by Houston standards. Shared services fees were paid in 2013 at 100%. In the first quarter of FY 2014, which is the October, November, December period, KPFT earned $293,000 in revenue, surpassing the projection of $276,000. Operating expenses were $249,000, which were trimmed from the budgeted amount of $281,000. And so for the quarter, KPFT posted a fairly petite deficit of $8,991. So what I said about that was that given the previous year's shortfall, KPFT made a pretty good recovery in the first quarter of 2014 and did trim expenses appropriately in response to the cash flow challenge that we all have of delayed CPB funding. And I did mention that the station continues to budget for and to run a capital campaign to replace equipment, which is the antenna and transmitter, with some success, but not complete success. So I guess what I'll do is ask the KPFT representative here if you have stuff to add, if you think that's accurate. And I guess since we're looking at another shortfall for this current fund drive, what you feel about sort of KPFT's capability to kind of trim expenses to make up for it, or are you going to be in a difficult place? And I'm not expecting you to solve it because obviously it's a management scenario, but any thoughts about that?
Sure. Well,
since your fund drive's complete, you kind of know where we're at.
To a certain extent, we've kind of already tightened our belt because of we're still waiting CPB. We're week to week on getting a $30,000 refund of our real estate tax. They finally resolved that issue, and they changed the records, but they haven't given us the money. And so much of our deficit from last year, if you bring in the $30,000 non-payment, non-refund of the real estate plus the CPB non-payment plus the unbudgeted payment of a portion of the financial manager, we just about netted out last year. But we are about as close to the bone as you're going to get right now as far as our ability to absorb any more losses. We're going to make it through this first quarter okay. Hopefully the next fund drive will change our fortunes and we won't have to worry about, not having any reserve. But right now we're about as close to the bone as you can get.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
Okay. Is there a stack, questions, comments? I'm going to put myself on the stack.
But this is Jim. I do have one question. What exactly is the status of CPB at this point?
Right. I thought that you were going to ask that, and I can answer that when I get on the stack. And I'll have a question for you in return. Anybody else? Okay, then I'll go ahead. All right, status of CPB. At the moment, CPB audited our fourth quarter of 2013 compliance. They didn't do it all that quickly, but I guess it's only February, and by CPB standards, that's actually quick. We sent them all of the stuff in early January. We did really well, but there was a problem with one signal area. That signal area was WPFW, which didn't play one or more mandatory pronouncements. And so we were tagged with that. The question is sort of what this means from the CPB point of view. They wanted 100% compliance. John Kriegler is arguing and making the point that, you know, 98% compliance is pretty good and that we're talking about a fair bit of money here, but it's not clear at this point if they will hold the money back for another quarter looking for 100% compliance. And it's kind of unfortunate, but that's where we're at. As far as I know, that was the only lapse that they identified.